and to not worry about whether or not you have the skill set. There are people that are here to support you to help you discover that. And I feel like that's a big life lesson for almost anything. Don't worry about the end point. Don't end game like that. If you have a sincere desire or curiosity or just plain want to be a part of the process, a part of where history is going, even if it's in your own backyard, then just take the first step. Because it's not about knowing everything on the front end. That's really not how life works. Just take the first step and then learn something new. The magic only happens outside of your comfort zone. And don't worry about how anybody's going to judge you or look at you. You know, we don't need to worry about the haters right now. We need just to get in. So,
I am interested in your professional background, your media background, because I think you got a lot going on there. Can you talk about that? I mean, for people who are listening right now, our members, the people who are big time news fans, sure. We want to invite you into our homes because that's what radio does. It right. brings everyone into everyone's living room. So tell us more about your professional background and your media background.
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, things have just flown in and out of each other. It's been sort of fluid experience. I do have a really strong arts background going back from when I was really small and started doing Hawaiian dancing, different forms that we had a family we were really close with. And that was actually my first experience. And then went into actually classical music. The whole time I was writing and somehow imagined in my child brain that I would go on to be Tom Brokaw's successor and that my arts and multicultural background would support me as I was reporting about all these different cultures. Obviously, I'm not Tom Brokaw's successor, but do look up to him and other reporters and have kept that in mind going forward and never let go of that media part. And so how I developed was, as I got older and wiser and saw the lack of infrastructure, I just couldn't sit by and not do anything about that. So I started freelancing and felt that the one way I could really lend a voice was to report about arts. First, it was just doing, you know, music reviews, which a lot of people find themselves doing, uncovering artists, working as hard as I could to write really tight script that preserved how an artist wanted to be portrayed, how an organization wanted to be portrayed. And then also I'm just incredibly organized. And that was an asset for a lot of people, whether in, you know, short-term contracts or long-term. And so I would come in and do project management. I would handle different broadcasts. I would handle different promotional campaigns, all the different campaigns. And eventually just started leveling up where I was handling a myriad, not just small accounts, but big accounts too, while, you know, at night writing for local newspapers, local magazines, sometimes ones outside of Oregon. And that's just kind of how it snowballed. And I still wanted to broadcast. So brings me back to here.
I have to call you out on something.
Sure.
When we say arts coverage, that can actually kind of mean anything.
Yes,
you can,
it can
cover any political
yes.
issue because yes. the KBOO News is deeply political. So can you talk about, as an arts writer, an arts journalist, are there some political issues from the community, from the world, from the nation that
yes.
have leaped out at you? What are some of the issues that are just right in your face right
now?
Well,
I'm glad you called me out on that. I don't know if you can call it calling out because I chose that word on purpose. You know, there's, you know, arts coverage does create a huge umbrella, and I'm very serious about what I do. And last year was incredibly difficult for me. I almost stopped writing altogether and stopped creating altogether. It was a situation where I know I don't just speak for myself, but lots of marginalized communities were just feeling completely censured. Those who weren't aware about different repressions and prejudices that America had are totally aware now. And, you know, for me, I discovered that there was a ceiling. It didn't matter how amazing my background was, my experience, my portfolio, my resume. You know, once I sat down in a chair, I was definitely getting marginalized, lowballed. You know, it was very, very difficult. And I would come home and go, well, what is it for if I can't reach that level that everyone's saying that I can reach if I work incredibly hard? But thankfully, I was able to find really great communities, other people of color, other people who are marginalized in the LGBTQIA community that were doing and are doing incredible things. We are all doing incredible things. And that, for me, was a source of strength that said, no, you can't give up. you cannot do that at this time. It's my responsibility to keep going and to keep shining and to bring everybody up with me. So that's what I did. I stayed empowered and kept going. So
with your hiring, I believe that means that KBOO Community Radio has an all African American news leadership in this building. Am I imagining that?
No, I feel like I've met 200 people in just 4 hours. So I don't think you're imagining that. I feel incredibly honored to be a part of just that's happening. So
why does the equity dynamic matter in a newsroom? I mean, isn't everything just a deadline? Why does it matter?
Oh, it matters so much because we don't, you know, in order for communication to be objective, you need more than just that singular narrative. You've got to. And I realize that's a part of the big fight, tying back off to arts coverage, because these things happen in arts. And it was incredibly wounding for me to realize that, you know, arts and everything that is connected to it, I thought was my safe place. And last year I was feeling like that was totally the exact opposite. but it's, you know, that's why it's so important, not just in arts and everything related to it, every single thing that we're doing, because how we do one thing is how we do everything. So if you really truly want a diversified, communication base, then communication bases need to have a variety of lenses. I'm a big advocate of recognizing how fraudulent the word diversity can be. I'm going to say that because it doesn't matter how many people of color you have on your team, you know, how many, you know, genderqueer people have on your team. What it really matters is the mindsets that each human being is bringing. So it is really fantastic that we're seeing a multitude of different backgrounds come. That's incredibly important. It's a first step in getting that next step of different human experiences as a lens. So.
I've heard smart people say that there are two ways that you can innovate a modern newsroom. One is through technology and the other is through diversity.
Yes.
And I think it also, like you just said, it goes to who's looking at what the news is.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have all the brains. You can't just have, forgive me for saying it, you can't just have the white people brains, because the white people don't see everything. And that's
true.
Literally what I think that's part of what we're talking about.
It's so important, yeah.
Okay, this is a trick question. I don't want to mess you up.
This game messes with me.
is there like a big idea or project that you would like to see, that you would pull out of, you know, a bag or something? Is there something?
A defined project. I'm a project person.
Is there a specific line of reportage that you might be interested in organizing a group of people around to pursue as a group? That's one kind of a project. We did this thing with the ALEC project a few years ago, where people basically, Don Merrill, KBOO reporter Don Merrill and others, just strongly covered what was going on in the legislature. Let me rephrase that. Do you see any hot spots in the local community or the nation that you feel like we should just be digging into? Or cold spots? I don't know.
Oh, it's a tough question, because it gets my wheel spinning. There's several projects I've just been, you know, had my hand in for a while. One is sort of historical in nature. I believe that it's incredibly important to give light to narratives beyond white narratives. And so last year got connected with North Plains, the city of North Plains, which for those who don't know is somewhere like right before Banks, before you just go into the woods and the coast. But researching a mural project for them, and discovered that the founder wasn't Scottish. He was half Mete, Native American, and was really incredibly instrumental in staving off a lot of the bloodshed, especially for the Lakota. He and his family were all fluent, and that was super remarkable. It was an interracial marriage as well. And I thought that is just such an incredible story, that he founded this small town that probably nobody really knows about, in an effort to maintain some form of freedom and diversity. So I'm still sort of working that as a project. And when I was walking around with Monica and the archives, and they
our station manager, Monica.
Station manager Monica, she showed me a project that KBOO was doing that just trying to archive all the interviews and histories around people of color and their narratives. And I got so excited about that and told her about the project that I've been kind of working on the side. At this time, I'm kind of just in talks with North Plains Library about just talking to the Historical Society. And they've been very helpful digging up all this information and old newspapers, old historical things that I'm hoping to kind of have some sort of monument or center or something that recognizes those tribes, the Confederated Tribes of Grande Ronde, house a couple of the local tribes that were there. That's one project, as I really incredibly want to have some library or access, some database that people can just access these narratives of color. I'm also part of the Decanon Project, which is a new project that is centering around also collecting books by people of color and marginalized people that recount our own history. So we're retelling history through our experience. And they also do lectures. I'm one of the lecturers coming up in February. So that's one. And one thing that I think is really important and is really the responsible thing to do for journalists and people in broadcast and everywhere is to make sure that's a huge part of everything that they're doing so that, again, it's not one singular narrative.
So I do want to let you know there's a production training intensive coming up Sunday, January 8th. That's this Sunday. It's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And it's going to be led by Jenna Yokoyama and Aaron Yankee. If you are already a KBOO volunteer, you need to have sat through the volunteer orientation. And you know what? If you haven't done that yet, there's one every month. And you should definitely come down and do this at some point because it's amazing what you can learn about yourself and the community around you when you do these free KBOO trainings. Anyway, also, Citizen Journalism Training Intensive is coming up Saturday, January 28th. That's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. with Derek Crooks. He's our new morning news and public affairs director. Amazing. And Ani Haynes, our volunteer coordinator. Take all the news classes in one sweep and learn about the basics of producing news, news ethics, interviewing, and writing for radio. How much does it cost? Nothing. Hello. It's awesome. The legal training is coming up, FCC issues and broadcasts. That's this coming Saturday. We've got board operator trainings. Field recording is when people take one of our wonderful small digital recorders out into the world and ask people questions and gather sound. It's amazing. All these things, listeners, these are things you would do. So I'm just letting you know, reach Charity Marchand.
Come find me.
At newsdirector@kboo.org. Thanks for being on the news.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being our new news director. I'm really excited about it.
I'm excited too.
All right. For KBOO, I'm Lisa Loving.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock on the dot. And tonight it is the first Wednesday of the month, which means Kitchen Table Conversations is next with Mary Postlewaite and Marshilio. But guess what? Brand new surprise for you guys at 7 p.m. Instead of Heart Knock Radio, we'll have another live show, and that's Keeping It Real, which is coming from 5th Wednesday to 1st Wednesday at 7 p.m. So if you like live shows, talk shows, conversations, tonight is the night. So stay tuned. This is KBOO Portland, Kitchen Table Conversations.